Sure good to have you tonight. We thank you for coming and your concern about spiritual matters that brings us together. Appreciate the good way the singing has been led and the way you've joined in the song service. It means a lot in the gospel meeting. Appreciate the good prayers and the presence of all of you. I want to talk to us tonight when the church grew. I believe I'm talking to people who are interested in church growth. Can I assume that? Okay. If the church is to grow, then I must grow as an individual, of course. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In our study tonight, I'd like to catalog for us some ingredients of church growth. And when was it in biblical days that the church really grew? And I believe if we follow this pattern, then we can grow today. What are some of those ingredients? First of all, if the church is to grow, you've got to put the seed in the soil. That's pretty evident, isn't it? If you don't put the seed in the soil, there's not going to be much of a crop. In the book of Luke 8, where Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he said a sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, in verse 5, some fell by the wayside, some on a rock, some among thorns, and some on good ground. As the Lord explained that, he said in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. So that's the thing we're planting, seed, the word of God. Well, what about the soil? The soil represents the hearts and minds of people. When Jesus explained it, beginning in verse 12, he said, those by the wayside are they that hear. So the seed falls in the hearts of people who hear. All right? And so it's pretty important that I put the seed in the soil. But there gets to be a problem. The problem is we have bad soil around. You ever have a home study? Maybe have 10 in it and only baptize 8? That gets discouraging to me. Why not the other two? I wreck my brain to try to find out what did I not do right? What did I not say? Is there something wrong with the seed? No. It's the soil sometimes. Did you notice in this parable, the wayside, the rock, thorns, and good ground, only one was productive. You know what made the difference? The soil. Not the seed, nor the sower, but it was the soil. In verse 15, when he explained the good ground, he said, that's the people that have honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience. You can sow the seed all day long, and if the soil is not right, it won't work. Are you aware of that? I say that to you. So you won't get discouraged sometimes if you sow the seed and it doesn't work. Not your fault. Not the fault of the seed. Soil. Now, since you and I are not mind readers, we do not know the kinds of soil we're dealing with. We just have to keep putting it everywhere we can plant it, hoping and praying that we have found honest and good hearts. But you got to put the seed in the soil. Haggai 2:19, remember that one? The question was asked, is the seed in the barn? Here's a farmer. He said, I'm going to take off for a few months, boys. I'm going to turn the farm over to you. There it is. He comes back in the fall, and he rushes out. He missed the barn so much. The first thing he goes is out to the barn. And he looks out there, and that's all the sacks of seed still in the barn. And so he hitches up, gets all the equipment for gathering to gather. Here he goes out in the field, right? Wrong. Every farmer knows that if you leave the seed in the barn, there will be no crop. And that's what's happening to us tonight. Are you satisfied with the number of people that you have baptized this year? Are you? If not, you've got to put the seed in the soil, or there won't be any responses. It's just that plain and simple. Now, let me show you that from Scripture, too. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, the seed was put in the soil. Jews had come in the city of Jerusalem. to keep the day of Pentecost. By the way, Pentecost was a day and not a church. Acts 2:1. That's pretty simple to figure out. D-A-Y versus C-H-U-R-C-H. You won't ever have trouble with that, will you? And they sowed the seed. Preached Christ, that he's the Son of God, crucified, buried, and arose. They were accused of crucifying him, and they said, what must we do? They were told to repent and be baptized. What did they do? Planting the seed in soil. How many was baptized on Pentecost? I don't have the slightest idea. I don't know. The Bible said they that gladly received the word were baptized. That's how many. Those who received the word. Those whose hearts were good and honest. And they were added to the Lord's church when they were baptized. The church began to grow. As you look through the pages of inspiration, Acts 4 and verse 4. Now it's about 5,000. And on it goes. Acts 8. Philip goes to Samaria and preaches Christ to them. What's the result of putting the seed in the soil of the Samaritans' hearts? And when they believe Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What's going on here? Just putting the seed in the soil. All through the pages of the New Testament, that's exactly the way that it works. You got to put the seed in the soil, or there won't be a crop. Begotten by the word of God, remember, 1 Corinthians 4:15. Brought forth by the word of truth, James 1:18. The seed is the incorruptible. The word of God is the incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. But secondly, the church grew in Bible days whenever discipline was practiced. Got to have discipline, or the church won't grow. When the church is filled with people who are ungodly, who are not living right and proper, committing public sin and nothing done about it, who wants to be a member of a church like that? Do you? I don't. Let me show you a little sample of how the church grew when some discipline was practiced in Acts 5. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Of course you do. Acts 5, 1 through 14. Ananias and Sapphira were husband and wife. They owned a piece of ground. That's all right. They sold it. That's still okay. The Lord said, it's yours, your money. But the problem was, they lied about what they gave. They even agreed to lie. And the Lord decided to make a public example out of them, and both of them were executed on the spot. What did that do to the church? Well, verse 11, it said, great fear came upon the whole church. I've often thought, if the Lord decided to do that among us someday, like some Sunday morning, we just got through giving, and somebody in this audience lied about their giving, and they just fell over dead. I expect the rest of us might say, hey, would you pass that collection basket back by here? I meant to give more this morning, Lord. It straightened this church up when discipline was exercised. But I want to know what effect did it have on growth. Look at verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both men and women. They multiplied. When the church began to correct its problems within the church, you just can't let undisciplined problems go. You've got to work on them, work it out. The last resort, of course, is what Paul talked to the Thessalonians about in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3 and 6, to withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, who's out of ranks with the word of God. I hate to see that have to happen, but it has to happen sometimes. If the church is to be pure, and if the church is to grow, don't forget that. But there's another example of when the church grew in Bible days. That is, the church in New Testament days grew when the church did its own work. If you expect the church to grow, you've got to work. You've got to do your own work. Let me show you a little sample of that. Acts 6. Remember Acts 6? The Grecian widows had been neglected. And they said, well, what we're going to do, we're going to cart you up and send you off down yonder somewhere. And we're going to send a contribution every fifth Sunday down there to that institution. And that's the way we're going to take care of it. Is that what happened? You know what happened? From among the brethren, they chose men to take care of this business. This work, that's what the word business means. And among them, within the framework of the local church, they took care of taking care of their own needy. You know what happened as a result of this church at work? Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests, even, were obedient to the faith. Folks obeyed the gospel. The church grew. The word multiplied. When this church was busy doing its own work. Isn't that interesting? If this church is going to grow, and I know you want it to, you've got to be busy doing your own work. Can't let somebody else do it. Your job. And I know you're doing that. And it's important that we see the value and the importance of that. But there's something else I want to talk to you about. Number 4. In Bible days, the church grew when the church had rest or peace. Who wants to be a member of a fussing, fighting church? Do you? Anybody? Hold up your hand. Oh, not a hand with them. I don't want to be a member of a church that's always fussing and fighting. And do you? Sometimes I wonder why we have as many young people as we do in a lot of places at the kind of things that go on among brethren. I understand that some business meetings, and I don't like business meetings, particularly. Nothing but knock down and drag out some places. Members getting into with each other. I know two members that got into a fight in the church building over the thermostat. Here, can you imagine visitors coming in, our young people coming in, and here two brethren fighting over setting the thermostat? Both of them needed it to be run out of town on a rail if they're going to conduct themselves that way. You just can't have that stuff. I know a church, a good church, used to be. I held a meeting for them a few years ago, over 300 on Sunday morning. Building seat 500, we had almost 50 responses during the meeting. They're not even meeting tonight. You know why? I'll read to you why they are not meeting tonight. I'm reading to you from the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, when he talks about that very kind of thing. When these brethren would bite and devour one another. You just cannot bite and devour one another and get by with that. You can just bite and devour one another plumb out of business. That's Galatians 5 and verse 15. He said, you're going to consume one another. Isn't that a sad state of affair? That brethren act that way and consume themselves? Now, let me show you a scripture from the book of Acts 9. Chapter 9, verse 31. Acts 9, 31 points out that the church had rest and peace. Listen to it. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. That means they were built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were what? Multiply. You get a hold of that? Multiply. Here were churches who multiplied and who grew daily because they did these kinds of things. Would you like that, this church to grow daily? Come in Wednesday night and a brother gets up and he said, I just finished a home study. I've been putting the seed in the soil, baptized two last night. Sunday morning, here comes three more. Somebody's been teaching a home Bible study. Putting the seed in the soil. The church is doing its work, disciplines practice, and the church is at rest in peace, vivified, and they grow. You like that? I love that. These are ingredients. You don't write these down or memorize. Do something about it. So you keep these in your mind. These are not my points. These are points from the Word of God. But it worked in biblical days. And I believe it'll still work. Number 5. In Bible days, the church grew whenever the church was persecuted. You can spell it. The church grew when they had problems and when they had some persecution. Look at Acts 12. Herod stretch forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of Jesus, or John, with a sword. Peter was put in prison, verse 5. That's when the church met and prayed for him. Now, I want to know, when the church has this kind of persecution, what did he do for her? Look at verse 24, Acts 12. But the word of God grew and multiplied. You know, not all persecution is bad. You ever thought about that? No wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 12, 11 beginning, 10 beginning, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's through verse 12. Oh, I don't mean by that that we get up every morning and say, Lord, persecute me today. That's not the point. But I tell you, not all persecution is bad. I think you want to know what one of our problems is today in the church? We got too much. You go to a country where they don't have much, where they eat rice three times a day, where some of them have to scrape through garbage to find something to eat. Those people have open hearts to truth and are easily converted to the gospel. Persecuted? Oh, yeah. But in light of that, they still carry on. Not all persecution is bad, is it? But I want to show you another example of when the church grew in Bible days. In New Testament times, number 6, the church grew when they burned some books that were bad. Question for you. Any books at your house that you think need to be burned? Pornography? Stuff that's ugly? Bombs that may be being made? Explosives in the garage? Not mine. Have you looked? I talk to parents and they say, I don't know what my kids are reading. You better find out. What you put in comes out. Put in bad stuff comes out. Put in good stuff comes out. And it led the wise men of old to say, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Somebody said, my kids don't read bad stuff. I bought them a new computer. They got that in their bedroom. The door's locked. And they're on the internet. So I'm sure they're safe and sound. You are? You think they are? You see on the news not long ago, where a 12-year-old girl came home from school, and nobody home, everybody's gone, 12-year-old. And she's on the internet talking to some fella up in Michigan. Several weeks, and that went on and on. They agreed to meet someplace. And some people found out about it and talked to her parents about it, and she agreed to work with them and said she's wrong and shouldn't have been doing that, and she was sorry, and so on. And when the fellow drove in, I saw it on the news. Here came the Michigan license car here with the police, and they just took him with them. That's good. Be careful with you young people in regards to the internet. A lot of filth on that. I talk to parents, they say, well, we don't know what our kids are doing because they have a sign on the door that says, their bedroom door, no admittance. And we are not allowed in there. I was in a meeting sometime recently. I stayed in one of those rooms. Said, no admittance. Let me give you a little way to handle that. If that's a problem to you, because the sign says no admittance and you're not allowed in the room to know what your kids are reading and what they're seeing and what they're doing, I'll tell you how to solve that real fast. Just take the door down. But that won't ever cause another problem. It's that simple. Here in the book of Acts 19:20. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Got rid of this stuff. Filth. But I want to know what effect did that have on the church growing and the word of God spreading. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what happened. You need some help along this line? Keith and I will be happy to come over tonight even. If you got something you need to have burned like that, we'll help you do that, won't we? And we may help you take the door down if you need that. One of the points in the sermon series. In Bible days, the church grew when the decrees of God were kept. Decrees means His word, His teachings. In the book of Acts 16, verse 4. And as they went, the apostles, through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. Now, I want to know how that affected the church. Verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. Guess how often? Daily. Isn't that something? Because the people were taught the word, they kept it, they put it into practice, they demonstrated the word before the people they knew, and as a result of that, the church grew every day. I love that. I love church growth. Not for numbers' sake, but for church growth. People hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel. I challenge you tonight that you got to put the seed in the soil. And Jesus talked about this in the book of Matthew chapter 9. When he wept over the fact that people had problems, and he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. You know what the problem is? The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he has sent forth labors into his harvest. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Jesus said in John 4, 35, say not therefore months, and then cometh the harvest, but rather lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already under harvest. By the way, where you been looking lately? Been looking on the fields? You been looking for folks and looking for him? How many home studies you got going right now? Don't have to answer out loud. Just think about it. No home studies. Not putting the seed in the soil, there's not going to be any crop. Till you get putting the seed in the soil. I believe that these are seven basic ingredients for church growth. Seed in the soil. Discipline when needed. Do your own work. Keep peace among the brethren. I don't mean peace at any price either. Peace is important and rest. Persecution, endure it and pick up yourself and go on and don't let it get you down. Don't ever use the word plom. You know what the word plom is? P-L-O-M. Anybody? Poor little old me. Sometimes we get to feeling so sorry for ourselves that nobody's treated like I am, and I don't have anything. I'm not going to do nothing. Books you need to get rid of? Bad stuff? Get out of your system. Get out of your house. Fill your mind with it. You're not going to grow. Church's not going to grow. Remember, God's decrees have to be kept. If you're dishonest tonight and you never obeyed the gospel, you've heard it. If you believe that Christ is God's Son and would repent of your sins, Keith is here to help you make that good confession that Jesus is the Son of God, to baptize you into Christ. That's the only way you get in. You can't come in as a thief and a robber. Galatians 3:27. To be added to the Lord's church. And then to work with these brethren to help the church grow and be strong, steadfast, and unmovable. Like a tree that's planted by the waters, as mentioned in the book of Psalm 1. Maybe you've done that in time past, but you've been of such a nature, you've let things get the best of you. You've let Satan decide your fate rather than you decide it. And he'll do that. Maybe you're letting time take care of it. You know, if you don't obey the gospel, time will make decisions for you. That's a way of doing that. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why don't you come tonight, repenting, confessing, and praying if you need to do that. Right now, while we sing.